7, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill Williams, Kane with traffic, and of course, the big green deal that unveiled this morning. Another great showcase. I don't know, can we get a listen case? No, it's a showcase when you go to our website and our Facebook page. Another great showcase to win here with FM Talk 106.5. Over $9,000 worth of summertime goodies for you.
Wow.
So all you got to do is get the details on the website, on the Facebook page, and get registered to win.
Yeah, and get ready to key some addresses into your GPS and head out and register.
Yeah, and you could... Maybe people know where all those places are.
They probably do, actually.
You know, people that have their own Google Maps in their head.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Well, we'll talk about that later. I'm going to say, what's going to happen one day when there's some temporary crash of, like, Google Maps or something? All traffic will just stop and drive around in circles and keep taking left turns again and again and again.
We'll look like downtown Beijing driving around.
But we'll be on bicycles?
No, just in the cars. Perpendicular, running into each other. You know how it looks in China.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Let's talk to our buddy Rob Hulbert with Lanyap as we get started this morning. Hey, Rob.
When that day comes, Sean, I'm just turning my left indicator on and driving around with my turn signal on.
Right, until it comes back online. I think
yeah,
the day...
Just drive around the world to the left. That's
yes.
what I'm doing.
Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what... is it UPS or FedEx, one of them, that they only take left turns?
Yeah, something like that.
Cuts down on time.
Hey, before we get into, there's a lot to talk about, but you want to compare and contrast Lanyap covers between Mobile and Baldwin County?
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, they're both a little softer this week. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to say that, oh well, you know, it's you know, the Baldwin one is softer, but we have, you know, the soccer hooliganism of on the Mobile side, the enjoyment of soccer over here, and then on the other side you have Cardi B and. Mm-hmm. And Hangout Festival, but let's dig a little deeper. What's Cardi B known for?
Well, I can't say.
Fist fighting.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, well, and some other things I can't say on the radio show.
I mean, let's say. It's
no, I'm just wanted you to.
Let's say I think it's grittier on the east side. This,
there wouldn't be. You're not trying to make up for anything, are you?
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah, just checking.
Have you listened to Cardi B since you put her on the cover?
I listen to her constantly. Yeah, almost constantly.
He's only stopping his Cardi B iPod shuffle to do this show.
Yeah.
That's it. The rest of the time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Nonstop.
It's still stuck in my head. It's still an earworm.
Nonstop Cardi B. All right.
I don't think I'd know Cardi B if she came up and slapped me. But
well, because she'll do that. Right.
And she would.
And a lot more. Hey, okay, Rob, I want to. Hopefully you have the answer I want now, because mediation between Mayor Stimson and his administration and the Mobile City Council has been going on for months now, and so I'm sure they've got everything resolved, and I just dreamed that they had another hubbub this week about pay raises and all that. So the mediation's obviously doing just great.
Yeah, Sean, I think this is our usual check-in on the mediation, and I mean, if anything is it, you know, this is sort of like the couple who claims they're in therapy, and then they go out to a bar and get in a fist fight. You know, it might not be working. I don't think, you know, if this is any sign that mediation is doing anything between the mayor and the city council, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they would have done otherwise then. I mean, you know, maybe shot each other. But, you know, so what you have this week is an ongoing issue over, they wanted to offer raises to all the employees, a 2.5% across the board raise, for all the employees. Well, the council came back and said, we don't want to give raises to the people that are appointed by the mayor, the, as they say, non-merit employees. For some reason, they just wanted to single them out. They wanted to pull them out.
Yes.
They're making some sort of vague claim that has to do with their lawsuit. That's what their attorney says. But, you know, I think when you read between the lines, it looks a whole lot more like it's just payback for the mayor firing their public relations.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think most of us, you know, who have been following this go, oh, great. So people that had nothing to do with this hubbub and mediation are paying the price for the battle between the two entities.
That's right. And I mean, and so, you know, they pulled that out the other day and passed the raise. And then Mayor Stimson came back after the fact and said, no, nobody's getting a raise until we figure it out and we all get a raise. So... Then they all, you know, have accused one another of various degrees of playing politics, shortly after it was all over, there was even, you know, Fred Richardson, in usual wisdom, had put some kind of email from Lisa Lambert, the city clerk, claiming that her email had been shut down, that she was unable to send out emails anymore after she aggregated the vote and sent it out to all the workers, all the employees. So there was some claim of that. I think that's since been pulled down, but you know, we all saw it. And and then Fred is now claiming that the mayor's office is paying the mayor's employees from a secret account, but he doesn't know what it is. So I mean, it's as bad as it gets. And you know, I would love to hear once again the echo of someone saying we're getting the people's work done at this point.
That's what they've told us.
I think you know.
That's what they told us, man, that this is not interfering at all. They're just a side deal. They're all in a great relationship and working. They just have to get these things worked out. I'm going to do this again. I know there are some people that don't miss your segment that already have heard us go round and round about this, but there might be people who haven't heard this. And I want to explain, at least in my opinion, and I think your opinion as well, why this mediation thing from the word go, I think, there's no way it can be successful in what should be done.
Well, in order for this to work, what they're arguing over is who has what powers. The mm-hmm. powers that are present in the mayor's office and in the city council offices. So this is the basic argument. Who can hire whom? Who has what powers? So the mayor had to file a lawsuit over this issue because after he fired their public relations person. And so the concept that they're going to have mediation and figure that out, even if they do come out of it and say, okay, we have an agreement that we say that you can do this and you can do this, if unless it's a legally binding agreement, it does not have anything to do with future mayors and councils. And you know, really what we need at this point is somebody to determine, this is what you can do, mayor, this is what you can do, city council, so both of y'all shut up, this is what you have
right.
the ability to do.
Right, I mean, and that's what Rob's saying. Y'all listen, I mean, that's a mediation is just to get two entities to agree to something. It is not setting precedent. I don't want to have to revisit this yeah. down the road. And, you know, is it too much as a citizen to ask to have a written down place where, okay, this is how our government works, these people get to make this decision, those people make this other decision, here's the rules. I mean, here's the rules.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we all would want at this point. And, you know, we know that at the last time we checked, we'd already spent over $60,000 on attorneys in this mediation, and that was a couple of months ago. And so you have a good bit of expense going on. You also have, from the outside at least, it doesn't look like anybody's learning anything. It doesn't look like there's any sort of, it doesn't look like anybody's learning to play well together at this point. So I have a hard time believing they walk into mediation and are having any real constructive thoughts and discussions. So, I mean, you know, we've been doing this for 6 months now.
And
we've
gone backwards.
Time for them to just judge and say, hey, you know what, this isn't working out. Let's go ahead and have a ruling on who does what.
Yes. Let's establish precedent. God forbid.
Maybe that's just my simpleton way of thinking about things legally, and they have to go through. I know, you know, this mediation is sort of a something they have to check off the box, but how long do they have to mediate? You know, that's the question.
That's true. All right. Coming back from the break, more with Rob Hulbert, something that brings up just as much discussion or probably a whole lot more, and that is the idea of tolling for the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Wallace Tunnel. It's the subject of his Damn the Torpedoes column in this week's Land App. We'll talk to Rob about that. When we return, y'all stay close and mediate amongst yourselves. AM 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning, Sean and Dalton. Our buddy Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. By the way, you want to pick up a copy of Lanyap? Rob, where'd they get one?
1,500 locations around Mobile, Baldwin County. Sean, you can get them in the purple boxes. There's still a few of those hideous pink boxes, classics out there, but most of the purple ones, go online at lanyapmobile.com and check us out there. And you can also have us delivered to your home.
All right. So, this
good
is
deal everywhere.
This
We're
is
everywhere.
And you can go get, I mean, there's no rule that says a Mobile County person couldn't drive over to Baldwin County and pick up a Baldwin County edition and vice versa, right?
No rule whatsoever. No, if they want to get that Baldwin, they can go over there or they can go online and read all the stories. Yes.
But it might end up actually costing more down the road if there's
a
toll.
It would be an expensive trip once the toll is enacted, Sean. You know, that's, you know, once we get tolls on the bridge, that could be an expensive trip. And so, you know, we've all been a little shocked, I think, when the proposed tolls came out not too long ago, $3 to $6 per ride. And so we all know, you know, let's just all be smart here and say, do we think it's going to be the low end of the spectrum or the higher end? And you know, that kind of tolling gets pretty heavy. I did some math on it. I, you know, as I'm known to do once in a while, if you had to drive back and forth 5 days a week, and it's $6 for the ride, that's $3,100 a year you're spending on tolls.
That's huge. That's a family vacation.
That's a lot of money.
It's a family vacation. Yeah, it's, and you know, they're talking. I mean, there's such a range. I would argue that probably there's a built-in, you know, high side to be able to negotiate, air quotes here, and reduce that rate to the lower side and have some kind of consensus around it. But still, you know, we've been running this polling for a week or so here, and I tell you right now, the majority of our folks, if it's over $2, they're not interested.
Well, and that's the reality, and that's basically what I said in my column is, you know, we've been waiting for this bridge now for 30 years. You know, we started Lagniappe getting close to 20 years ago, and this was an old conversation when we started the paper.
Yep.
And the concept always, I thought anyway, and probably a lot of us thought, was that we would create a bridge to ease the traffic problems that we have here and to make life simpler for us. That would be the thought process. That was my thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start saying we're going to have a $12 round trip, people immediately start saying, you know what, I need to figure out a way to get around this bridge. How am I not going to use the bridge? And that flies right in the face of why we're building a bridge, in my opinion.
Right. Well, here's the other rub, too, that let's say they go through this process where you have, you know, 7% federal funding, I think 14 to 20 local amalgamation, but the rest of the private concessionaire. So the private concessionaire does what they're supposed to do, get their money back, make a profit. But in doing that, the traffic flow will change, just like you said. And I mean, go look at if the Bankhead gets backed up, everybody gets down, gets off of Virginia, makes their way over to Government, and goes Government through the Bankhead Tunnel. What happens to a city like Mobile that then has more law enforcement costs, has more street wear, all those things because of what a private concessionaire has done on a federal road?
Well, you know, I talked with a traffic expert yesterday about this after my column came out, and what that person told me was they actually would expect the numbers of people. Okay, so average, the Wallace Tunnel averages 75,000 people a day, 75,000 vehicles a day.
Okay.
They would expect that average to drop maybe even to, you know, into the 60s or even as low as 50.
Wow.
The people avoiding the bridge and also maybe some carpooling or just not making trips because of the tolling. Also, the expectation would be that it would push additional traffic onto 65 and make a bigger issue with 65 in terms of traffic flow there. So again, you know, the idea is we're building a bridge that is going to, the idea ostensibly was going to improve traffic flow, and what it's going to do, it appears, even the people in the business are saying it's going to cause people to try to avoid the bridge. And then you get into the whole issue of collections and things like that. I was, you know, my column I was pointing out, but my lovely wife got a letter from the Florida Department of Transportation for $3.25 because she accidentally missed a toll somewhere on one of their roads. And apparently, the company that runs these tolls, as long as they have reciprocation in different states, that if you owe them a toll in Florida, they can keep you from getting your license. You get your tag renewal in Alabama or somewhere else.
Yeah, I probably. And by the way, tell Beth that I've been fighting with FDOT or Foot for a while. I paid the $3.25 more than once. They keep coming back and saying, no, 325.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, I really don't have the hours in my day to continue to fight them over the check that cleared for $3.25.
Yeah, as I said, you know, my column, look, Florida, you already got us for the $7 bottle of water at Disney World. Let's call it even, okay? Can we just call this even?
Yeah, but, you know, there's going to be an issue, obviously, with people traveling through our area, going anywhere else, but that's always a low-hanging fruit. Oh, we'll get them to pay for it. But the reality is, it's local folks, and the numbers you ran, and so many people have done their own math on this, this will, number one, change traffic patterns and put traffic on roads that can't deal with it, like you just said in the numbers. And number two, it will make some businesses choose to not do business on both sides of the bay. Yep. It'll make consumers it'll artificially change their choices in where they buy things and don't buy things.
If you were deciding to go out, we went this past weekend, decided to go and eat over in Fairhope. But if you said there's going to be a $12 charge to drive across to Fairhope, I probably would have said, you know what, let's just eat over here. I don't want to spend $12 driving.
I mean, that's an artificial. I mean, that doesn't. You know, I want businesses to make it or fail on their own. You know, on their own efforts, not because they're some artificial system set up to deal with something else that now puts them at a loss in the negative before they even get started.
Look, in my personal business, you know, when we put up a paywall that costs 20 cents a day, the amount of anger and people saying we don't want to pay 20 cents a day. I can't imagine somebody saying, I don't want to, you know, I'm going to pay $6 to drive across the bay. That's not going to happen around here. And what's going to occur is if that level of tolling is going on, I think you're going to end up with a massive failure. And you're going to end up with a bridge that doesn't have the amount of people going across it they want. And you're going to dump everything off into other areas.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's just going to create a traffic jam.
You know, they'll say that if ALDOT doesn't come up, it doesn't have the money to put in more for this bridge project. Well, ALDOT, you are going to have to come off money because now all of a sudden, necessarily, government and surface streets in Mobile will be busier than normal. We'll need more, traffic engineering and plans there. And places like coming off the connector and going over the Cochran Bridge will need it too. And then, the cost is going to hit somewhere. It's not going to magically just have people from Texas paying for all this, you know, bridge build.
Well, it's also too, Sean, if you run the numbers and you say, let's say they do drop down into the 50s or 60s, and they are charging even $6 per trip. It's going to take a lot longer than 20 years to get to the $2 billion that this bridge is going to cost. And that's not counting all the interest and other things involved. So, you know, that number, to me, if you look at it, that number sounds low in terms of trying to get their money back.
But they got 55 years to do it, man.
I mean, they're going to have a long time to do it, but it's. I still think you're going to have a push. My guess is that along the line there'll be pushes to move that toll up, not down.
The way I read the proposal, they have the right to do that. Now, I will say on the making sure everything's balanced here, that they will be on for the maintenance and upkeep of the bridge and maybe even the Bayway expansion. I'm not sure, but it goes to make us ask why do other interstate improvements in the state of Alabama not have to have a private concessionaire pay for it, and here we do. All right, Rob.
You know, 10 years ago this was a $255 million project. Now it's a $2.5 million project, and a lot of that is because the federal government is requiring us to change the Bayway.
Yep.
So, my feeling about it is we got a $2 trillion budget. Come down and pay for a bridge. We've been waiting for this for a long time. We've dealt with this congestion for a long time.
I agree. 7%. 7% federal funding is all that's right now allocated. Rob, once again, folks want to pick up a Lanyap, new Lanyap, equally gritty, you think, between soccer and hangout?
I'd rather watch soccer than get beat up by Cardi B. So I'm going to go with that Mobile is the softer side this
week. Okay. All right. I'm glad you're trying to make amends, man. And nappy voting online
nappy
now.
Nappy voting is going along, guys, until midnight of June 2nd. We've already got about 500,000 votes in the first week.
Wow.
It is going crazy. So just get out there and vote.
Good stuff. As always, man, we appreciate it, Rob. All right. We'll check in with Dr. Bill and get headlines next.
Thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Almost there. Almost the end of the week. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. I guess we're gaining on Friday, aren't we?
Yeah, we're real, real close to Friday. And halfway through the month at McConnell Automotive, you always have special deals going on. What can we look forward to for the rest of May?
Well, Dalton, I think everybody loves to save money, but I think people listening, they kind of like to save the hassle of car shopping. And the cool thing we like to do every day is, you know, be a lot different than maybe 95% of the car dealers that make you work for a deal. And if you go to my website right now, McConnellAutomotive.com, Dalton, people are going to see this Memorial Day sale. We decided to start it early, so we've just given these negotiation-free prices, things like the new AT4. We've got one of them, Dalton, I think, marked down as low as the last remaining 18 trucks, you know, over $12,000 off a brand new 19 model. That's kind of the biggest discount anybody's seen all, you know, since the new truck came out. Mm-hmm. And another example is 0% financing on a bunch of the vehicles that we have, and that saves you tons of money. So whether you want a Yukon, an Acadia, pretty much anything you're looking for, Dalton, people just need to either call us or go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and truck, SUV, it doesn't matter. We got the deals happening, and all our Buicks pretty much are 16% off the sticker price. I mean, it's a great time to get an SUV ramping up for the summer, buddy, right now.
That's some good stuff. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Man, y'all have a great Thursday, dog.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, day 37, FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of tolling on the proposed bridge and also the Wallace Tunnel, our online opinion poll question from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. How much would you be willing to pay in tolls on the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Wallace Tunnel? Now, it's not how much you want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we get
willing.
That. Willing to pay. So right now, the way it goes, zero. In other words, not willing, would not use a bridge or the tunnel, would not use it at all, $0, no pay. That is 32% and our highest ratio, all right, 32%. Then $1, 24%, $2, 19%, $3, 16%, $4, 5%. Still, nobody wants to pay 5.
No.
But 4%, no, down to 3% now, want to pay 6.
Yeah, so I guess that would mean, and if we go off of what Rob Holbert had to say earlier in the hour, all of those people that said they'd be willing to pay nothing to cross, or that they would not pay more than, they wouldn't pay a cent to
right.
cross the
not a red
cross
cent.
The road, that they would be taking another way around. They'd either take the causeway through the Bankhead, or they would, I guess, go to the Cochrane Africatown Bridge, or just completely bypass the bay altogether.
What are they going to do during Mardi Gras?
Ooh.
When you would try to, let's say there's a backup I-10 eastbound and it's Mardi Gras and you're going to try to get off in Virginia and get down to government, really, and go through the Bankhead?
Not going to happen.
Yeah, so and this is the other part of it that we've been talking about a while. Maybe, I'm sure the engineers have looked into this. I just have not heard it in other media sources, but what about that cost? I mean, if you put an additional, by Rob's estimate, with talking to that engineer, let's say you put an additional 15,000 vehicles on government every day in through the Bankhead, or going through, going back up and going around and coming down through and on the Cochrane Bridge and down that way, though you're moving the wear and tear elsewhere. It's still going to happen, right? It's going to be a probably longer trip for people. Which maybe that's good, burn more gas, pay your gas tax, but the road wear and tear is going to be so. The idea of toll roads, I'm not, you know, when I go to Florida and I choose to get on the Florida Turnpike, I end up spending like $16-17 from getting on there at Yeehaw Junction and getting off down in the Miami Dade, but I make that choice because I know that I-95 is a pain.
Right.
And I have two children in the vehicle and the missus, everybody wants to get there. I'll go ahead and cough up the money, but I make that choice. I don't come into a place in Florida and get bottlenecked. I mean, if they wanted to do the same thing, if they did an improvement, maybe say on I-75, you'd turn off I-10 onto I-75 and you'd hit a toll. You
right.
don't. You get down there and you get to where you can choose. Now, there are tons of toll roads in Florida, but there's often another way to go around. And I guess you can argue here there is as well, but gosh, it's not near the equivalent in a direct route.
If we're negotiating right now to get these tolls down, who do you think has the most leverage right now, ALDOT or the people of Mobile and Baldwin counties who are upset about this?
I'd say our local contingent in Montgomery, because out of all the comparisons everybody likes to make, this state is doing this, Sean, and that state's doing that. Let's talk about what they're doing in Birmingham. I think that's the best argument being made right now, is the big spend going on at I-59 up in Birmingham. There's no toll there, and that's a federal interstate and a big, big project. So it's worth the discussion. All right, and we'll hear from you on the text line. And please stop by and vote in our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK right there on the front page of our website. And to the phones, Chris is in Mobile and wants to talk tolls. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing good.
I know a lot of us are talking while we're eating lunches and stuff. A lot of us said to avoid the tolls if there's that much, driving back and forth from Ola County to Mobile, might as well just go right on up, hit Bay Minette, get on the interstate, and come on back around. I mean, you might be talking another 10-minute more ride to go out of your way, 15 minutes, you know.
Well, I'd say, it depends on where you live.
That's going to put Bay Minette jammed up with traffic then, too, which Bay Minette has grown dramatically over these few years. And
they're growing. You're maybe more charitable than me with the dramatic. They've grown, and I like Bay Minette. I think it's a cool place.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. So it depends on where you live, right, Chris? So what you're describing, let's say I live in Saraland, then I'm all aboard if I'm going to avoid this, going north, coming up and coming over, coming down that way. If I live... if I live in Theodore, man, I don't know. I don't think so. You know, that's the problem. That's the problem. You got to make that. There'll be a certain point in town where folks will say, "Ah, to heck with it. I'm not going to go up and around." And then, if you're anywhere in the northern parts of the city, sure, that works better. But there's still going to be wear and tear on roads that aren't getting that wear and tear right now. You can't just put tens of thousands of vehicles on a road and not expect them to wear out faster.
That's right.
Chris, appreciate the call, man. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. David's next in Mobile.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. I know Rob Hulbert has been busy getting beaten up. He may not have had a chance to rugby act, so I'm going to tell you why the mayor's staff getting a raise and being contract employees is related to the lawsuit. If you read the Zogby Act, the mayor's appointed staff, according to the Zogby Act, it's written in there that he can only spend $100,000 a year on that staff. Now, if you there's two legal different legal theories on that. That's either one is if that's a per position rate or that's a totality totality rate. Even if you subscribe to the theory that it's a per position rate, there are 16 appointed positions in the mayor's staff that make more than that $100,000. That is why it is related to the lawsuit, because that is, even if you take that theory, it's still a violation of the Zogby Act. Now, I'm not saying that those employees aren't worth that money. I'm just saying it's a technical violation of the law that needs to be addressed. And I agree with and you, Sean, that we need somebody to say, this is what you can do, mayor, and this is what you can do, council. I just think that person, the legislature that wrote the Zogby Act, more so than would be better doing that than a judge, in my opinion.
Well, but here's the thing. In a perfect world, yes. What odds do we have of having something crafted by the local delegation taken to Montgomery, work through committee, out of committee, into the House, then into the Senate, and then a governor's signature getting it through for some more clarity on the Zogby Act? I mean, the better chance is it goes to a lawsuit and a judge decides. I mean, that's just probably
Well, here's the thing, Sean. If the mediation does produce fruit, what can happen is the council and the mayor can go together to the local delegation and say, these are the changes we would like to see made to the Zogby Act, and that carries more weight if it's both of them going together in unison than fighting it out in court.
Okay. You holding your breath on those two entities doing things in unison?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. All right. For that reason, we'll go to another phone call. John in Spanish Fort up next. Hey, John.
Hi, morning.
Hey, man.
My question about the tolls, when will the tolls start being collected?
Well, it was... I don't have a certain date on start because they're not certain how this is going to work, but I have heard this is rumor. I have not... Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say ahead of time it's rumor. But when they... When something happens or something, maybe they start construction or whatever, starts a time frame. And so conceivably, the tolls could be in effect before the bridge would be open. Mm. I don't know if that means they would be collecting them in the Wallace Tunnel before the bridge would be open, but the system set up for the private concessionaire would let them start moving forward with their, you know, inflationary rate hikes, because they have that ability within the contract to, over time, raise the toll to pay for more maintenance or whatever. So conceivably, let's say they set the toll at $3 or whatever it would be. Before we even got to drive on the bridge, it may go to $3.50 or may go to $4.
Oh.
So,
well, the reason to ask you, if they start collecting the toll to me before they start construction or such, what if all of a sudden, we're not doing this. I've seen these things before. And now people have been paying.
Oh, yeah.
How did they get the money back?
I think people would. You want to talk about the biggest protest on tolls? I think, John, if they start, and I'm not saying I don't think it could happen, because it could, like you said, but they start trying to collect a toll before that bridge is built and open, you're going to see all-out rebellion. You're going to see people taking a 40-minute extra loop to avoid something.
Yeah, I understand. Well, like I say, I live in Baldwin County, Spanish Fork, and I go to Mobile 20 times a year. It doesn't affect me, let's say. But I understand about the commutes back and forth. I'm retired. But I was just curious about when they start taking the money. And, we're not going to be able to do it. And bang, there's the money gone. So anyway, I thank you. I was looking for that in the articles, and I've not seen it. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I'll try to dig it up and see if we can get more intel on that. John, good question. And we'll get some more from y'all when we get back at 343-0106. Right, 851 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Head to the phones in just a second, but I'll give you a heads up. Another great event going on at Cottage Hill Package tonight. Free tasting with Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika. It's going to be going on at the front bar. Representative from the brewery will be on hand to hand out some samples of the following brews. Their 53 Kolsch, their Halftime Hefeweizen, plus their IPA. It is Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika. And check them out starting at 6 tonight. Free event, as always, at Cottage Hill Package. And get a chance to stop on by. Even if it's not one of these events, go by and see the huge selection of craft beers. It is, that's why they have these tastings, okay? Let's just get down to it. They have so many new craft beers that come in, so many selections when you walk in and see the Manis boys there. Did they get to have these events? Because I think I do, like a lot of people. You go, oh, that's a cool-looking label, cool-looking name, but I got no idea if I'd like that. I'll just go buy the same thing I bought before.
Yeah, I was just in there last week preparing for my trip to the beach, mm-hmm. which I went to over the weekend. And, it's like I'm trying to see what it's like being in there with so many different beers to choose from. I just stood there and stared.
Right, that's
and picked
what happens.
Them up and looked at labels. But if you go to these events, then you'll find the new one that you like, one that you haven't heard of before. And then, unlike me, you just walk in there and grab it.
Yeah, then you act cool. Like, oh, yeah, I'm here to get the 53 Kolsch.
Right.
Also, I think it's cool that so many breweries in Alabama are featured by them as well. Hey, get more information online, cottagehillpackage.com. Make sure to like them on Facebook. But the best way to do it is in person, like tonight, for that free tasting at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. It is Cottage Hill Package. All right, to the phones we go. And by the way, too, don't forget, we announced it this morning. It's online. It's on our Facebook page. The Big Green Deal from FM Talk 106.5, $9,000 worth of goodies for you. You could win. Go on the website. Go on the Facebook page. See the details. And hopefully we'll be pulling your name at the end of this. All right, let's go to Walter in Mobile up next. Hey, Walter.
Hey, Sean. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning. Good, man. Thanks.
So I want to give you a little feedback. I'm actually originally from the New Jersey tri-state area, so tolls are kind of a way of life up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand the tolls for the Bay Bridge project and Bayway and all that. But here's the kicker. Up in, at least in the New Jersey area, if you need to take the parkway or the turnpike to get where you're going, you're going to have to pay a toll. But there are a multitude of other ways to get there. You know, I don't have to go an hour out of my way to go two towns over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly fair as someone who commutes across the Bayway, you know, 5 days a week, it's not exactly fair for the people of Mobile and Baldwin County to have to suffer through all that and pay those tolls when there's only one other option, and that's like that previous caller said, to have to go all the way up through Bay Minette, and for someone who's out in Theodore, that's not really a viable situation.
Right, and you could, I mean, you could go up and get on the connector and come down and come across the Conquering Bridge, but you're right, like where, and I'm familiar with the tolls from Florida, really, you know, instead of New Jersey area, but everywhere that there's a toll that I choose to pay exorbitant fees for the turnpike or whatever, there's another. I-95 is right there. I'm just making the choice that it is worth the $16 to me to get there faster. You know, that's why originally when they're talking about tolling the bridge, I didn't have a problem because I hadn't thought about the other part of it, the other shoe to drop, that the toll would be in effect on the Wallace Tunnel as well. I mean, I like the idea that you could choose if you wanted to use the bridge and it saved you time, you choose to pay the toll. That's market-driven, convenient, you pay for it. But when they said, oh yeah, and also we're going to have that same toll on the Wallace Tunnel, that's when I started going, wait. It's not right.
Yeah, and I can agree with you on that one because there's plenty of roads back where I used to live where you can see people are taking those side roads instead of a parkway and the turnpike, and you can see the wear and tear. I know there's one place off of one of the highways where you can see a very clear divot in the road from where tires have just driven over it years and years and years.
Yeah, and then you know, then the private concessionaire will have the toll paying them, which I like I said, I mean, they're a private company, they're going to make a deal, get their money back, but the tolls are paying them. At the same time, the unintended consequence of people avoiding the tolls and using other roads and wearing those out, those costs are going to be on ALDOT. It's going to be Alabama taxpayers paying for that.
It's just, there's no good situation, Adam. It's at the end of the day.
For sure. Walter, I appreciate your call. Let's go to Mike in Point Clear. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I do the cannon firing and the history stuff at the Grand Hotel, and we looked it up the other day. When they built the Cochrane Bridge and opened up the causeway in 1927, they were charging a dollar toll to come across the Cochrane Bridge.
Okay.
Of course, that was opening up the causeway to fishing and to people going out there, so it's kind of like, you know, it was a real novel thing at that particular point.
Yeah, let's go pay the money and take a ride. Let's go, like, out just driving.
Yeah, but the dollar in 1927-28 is a lot of money. You look at it in perspective of income, that was a lot of money. So there's nothing new about tolling, of course.
Right.
And myself, I don't go over to Mobile much more than 10 or 20 times a year. So
I would be
for maybe the most a $2 toll. So I'm not exactly what you call a cash cow.
Well, and I've got a picture of the old Bankhead toll booth, a photograph of that.
Yeah, that used to be, what, a quarter or 50 cents.
Right. So, I mean, the idea, listen, and that's why when they initially said there's going to be tolling on the bridge and people got angry at first, I said, it doesn't bother me because you make a choice maybe for convenience. But then when it came out that, well, no, that would also be a tolling on the Wallace Tunnel, it's soured with me. I got to tell you.
Yeah, I would rather it just be on the bridge, and if you choose to do it and see it and go that way, then that's great. But something that's already been paid for with federal money, like the Twin Tunnels, you know, I'm against that.
Here you go, Mike. I appreciate your call. And the cannons will thunder, that's for sure. All right, out of here for today. Be back today at noon for Midday Mobile. This show, Captain Bobby's Fishing Report, Sports Night, Plain Gardening, Sip and Chew. I can't list it, which
so
is
many.
Cool. It's cool. We can't list every show that's on the station. All those shows are waiting for you right now in podcast form. So if you didn't catch them over the weekend or missed one episode of this show or that show, you can go get them through our website, fmtalk1065.com. And easier, go ahead and subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher and get them right there on your smartphone. All right, Mike Gallagher next. Y'all have a great one.